Kevin Jones.
Left leg for Dante. Three in the air. Swish!
Greg Jones, their outstanding guard, has to be the king. They don't blame me.
Daryl Brooks.
Devin Evans.
What for Daniel?
Kirby Brooks on the two-pointer.
Dallas Nichols wins the game.
Alexander. It's a dunk right in his face.
Something is Jones.
They can take the ball to the left side, spins, shoots, layup, shot, good!
Got that Carter throw the ball.
Javon Carter is in Trae Young's head.
Butler into the lane, into traffic. It goes again! West Virginia has won its first Big East championship.
They're going wild here at the Coliseum.
So long, Big Blue. Hello, Golden Blue. The West Virginia Mountaineers are going to the Final Four. It is a great night to be a Mountaineer, wherever you may be.
And now, it's the show brought to you by Mountaineer fans, for Mountaineer fans, the Country Rose webcast.
What's going on, Mountaineer Nation? Welcome back into the CRW Hoops Podcast here for episode 4 of the 2023-2024 West Virginia men's basketball season. We're going to get into the preview of the UMass game here later in the episode, but before we do that, we got a lot of topics to cover here in Mountaineer news. As we now know, this is the 10th game of the basketball season, so we'll be seeing the return of Kerr Carissa. His debut as a West Virginia Mountaineer should provide a big boost to this basketball squad, but there is also another couple additions that could be joining the roster and making their Mountaineer debuts as well. We'll have to see what happens with that coming up in this game against UMass. It's kind of a wait and see thing for us from a fan perspective, and we'll see who takes the floor on Saturday night as the coaching staff's playing it pretty close to the vest after some monumental things have occurred. So let's discuss those here among some other topics to kick off this episode here in Mountaineer news. And obviously, we won't bury the lead here at Mountaineer News, and that is, of course, the biggest piece of news that's come out recently, and that is the TRO issued against the NCAA that will allow transfers to be immediately eligible, at least during this window, meaning Raekwon Battle could potentially play for West Virginia in this game against UMass. You see this coming from our friends over at WVSportsNow.com. West Virginia Judge John Preston Bailey issued a temporary restraining order against the NCAA's transfer eligibility rules for the next 14 days. This ruling makes WVU guard Raekwon Battle eligible, but another hearing on the injunction is set for December 27th. The ruling allows multi-time transfers to play, eliminating the waiver process for now. And so not only does this apply to Raekwon Battle, but it also applies to West Virginia transfer guard Noah Farrakhan, who put on a show in the Mountaineer Madness dunk contest and is a very talented guard that West Virginia could add to their backcourt as well. However, West Virginia's coaching staff is still in limbo on if they're going to play Raekwon Battle and Noah Farrakhan at this point due to this new information that has come out from the NCAA. They have come back and retroactively went back on what they said initially, and now transfers that play during this 14-day window would again be ineligible for the rest of the season. If that hearing on the 27th and this legislation is reverted, then these players will be deemed ineligible. So West Virginia plays three games during this 14-day window, meaning Raekwon Battle could play in three games during this 14-day period. However, if they're lost on December 27th, the TRO is ruled in favor of the NCAA this time rather than against, then Raekwon Battle is again ineligible, losing his complete eligibility for what would be his final season of college basketball here with West Virginia, and he would have to move on from the program and only get to play three games. Now, if I'm in Raekwon Battle shoes, I would take three games over zero, so I would say go ahead and play me during this 14-day window. However, it's probably more up to the coaches than it is Raekwon Battle himself. Purely speculation here. I'd be surprised if he didn't play, but who knows? Stranger things have happened, and we'll see what West Virginia chooses to do, because this is very interesting and certainly a can of worms now for the NCAA And I really just don't see how they're going to revert this on December 27th. And the NCAA really cost these athletes, especially because they didn't come out and say this, that they would lose eligibility until the next day. And once this hearing was made, some teams played their players that night before the NCAA said they would lose eligibility. So it would be a lot of egg on the face of the NCAA, I think. So I say go ahead and play him, but it's not up to me. It's up to Josh Eilert and the West Virginia coaching staff, and we'll see what they choose to do in this game coming up on Saturday. However, if they do choose to play Raekwon Battle, it will certainly switch up the lineup, which is already due for a change with the addition of Kirk Carissa. So let's take a look at a projected lineup that features both Raekwon Battle and Noah Farrakhan in addition to Kirk Carissa. And this comes from Ethan Bach over at WVSportsNow.com. Be sure to follow WVSN for all your Mountaineer sports content. They do a great job there. And you can find the video version of this episode on the web there at WVSportsNow.com. If you're tuned into the video version there or on our YouTube channel, be sure to hit the thumbs up button. That helps us a ton. And subscribe if you haven't already. We also appreciate you tuning into the audio version, though. You can find it on any podcast platform you like. Apple, Google, Spotify, iHeart, Amazon, you name it. Just search Country Roads Webcast. You'll find us there. Leave us a rating and review on that end and share us around with other West Virginia fans you may know. But if Noah Farrakhan and Raekwon Battle do indeed join the West Virginia lineup, certainly changes things a lot for the Mountaineers. As you see here, Kirk Carissa would take over as the team starting point guard. Obviously, that's expected to happen. But his backup could potentially be Noah Farrakhan now. And you could see Kobe Johnson slide over, play the two spot for West Virginia where he would split minutes with Ofri Nevey and Seth Wilson. Obviously, if Raekwon Battle goes, he's going to certainly be a starter for the Mountaineers. He's believed to be a leading scorer on this team. Once he debuts, he would play there at the three position, splitting minutes with Josiah Harris, which would allow Quinn Slezinski and Akuka Cook to play the four position, and Jesse Edwards and Pat Sumnick to take up the minutes at the five position with Ollie Regab there for reserve minutes if necessary. So West Virginia will certainly get a nice addition with the return of Kirk Carissa, but they could get an even bigger boost with the additions of Raekwon Battle and Noah Farrakhan. We'll see what happens with those players. But if we're talking big boosts, I know there's nothing that gives me a bigger boost here on the Country Roads webcast than Magic Mind. That's right. This little 2.5 ounce productivity shot has done wonders for me since I discovered it. I used to be a person that drank coffee entirely too much, like from the time I woke up to the time I went to sleep. But now with Magic Mind, it allows me to only drink a cup of coffee, still not have any less energy throughout the day. Actually, I may have more. I'm able to focus better, just better productivity in general, lower stress levels, lower anxiety levels. Can't recommend it enough. Head over to magicmind.com/countryroads to try some for yourself, where you can use our exclusive code CONFIDENTIAL20 for 50% off a subscription or 20% off a one-time purchase. But if you're skeptical, you know, you don't want to hop in to a subscription or a one-time purchase of an entire box, I've got good news on that end as well, because starting in January, Magic Mind's actually going to be available individually at Sprouts Farmers Market. So head out to a Sprouts Farmers Market near you, try a bottle. I promise you're going to love it. But then once you're hooked, come back here, hop online, head over to magicmind.com/countryroads and use our exclusive code CONFIDENTIAL20 to score 50% off a subscription or 20% off a one-time purchase. And speaking of scoring, West Virginia is certainly going to need to do their fair share of scoring in this game coming up against UMass. So let's dive in on the preview of that game here, wrapping up with my prediction at the end here on episode 4 of the 2023-2024 edition of the CRW Hoops Podcast. All right, Mountaineer Nation, as you well know, West Virginia will head to Massachusetts to take on the UMass Minutemen Saturday evening, December 16th. It's going to be a 6:30 tip-off, and the game is going to be televised there on ESPNU. West Virginia comes into the game at 4-5. UMass comes in at 5-2. However, it's a potential new-look Mountaineer squad that we're going to be getting to see on the floor for this game against Massachusetts, and I think could see a different style of play from West Virginia in this game because of that. You know, throughout this season, they've been playing, you know, six, really eight at most players. That's a huge lack of depth that West Virginia has. And due to that fact, they've really been able to, you know, slow things down on the offensive end, not play up tempo, which I think kind of contradicts what they wanted to do going into the season. If you go back to the early part of the offseason and listen to Josh Eilert and some of the coaching staff talk, they were talking about, you know, utilizing some press on defense and really turning up the tempo on offense. They have some players that they felt like could really run the floor, whether it's a Cook as a big man or Jesse Edwards, who's a guy that runs the floor and catches lobs. We've seen him catch a ton of lobs this season. Expect some more of those in this game with Kerr Creasa returning. But I think with West Virginia's lack of depth this season, they haven't really been able to get out and run. We've seen that slow pace on offense. That's why we see West Virginia's low points per game average, trying to play games, you know, in the 60s, low 70s. I think with the addition of Kerr Creasa, that could change because West Virginia's offense could flow. They also will have more ball handlers. They should have a higher rate of assists, lower rate of turnovers. But if you throw Raekwon Battle and Noah Farrakhan into the mix, then you're really talking about a team that's playing, you know, 10, 11 guys. I think you could see West Virginia play at a faster pace in this game against UMass if all those guys do indeed join the roster. And we could see West Virginia play a bit different style of basketball in this upcoming game against the Minutemen. Either way, I think the offense certainly will function better with Kerr Creasa's addition. Obviously, you're adding a player, led the Pac-12 in assists the past two seasons. It's only going to help the way your offense operates. That's going to be big for West Virginia. And as you look at some of these numbers, I think a different style for West Virginia getting out and running a little bit would probably be beneficial because you're looking at contrasting teams in this matchup when you look at the way they've played up to this point in the season with I just mentioned, you know, with West Virginia's roster being a big reason they've played the way that they have, trying to stay out of foul trouble, trying to keep fatigue levels down, among other things. That is why West Virginia's only averaging 64 points per game, holding opponents to 66, whereas UMass is scoring 84 points per game and only holding opponents to 72. They also are obviously applying pressure and getting out and running off of turnovers as they have 9 steals per game compared to only 4 for West Virginia. Field goal percentage, 46% for UMass versus 40 for the Mountaineers. Rebounds per game, pretty close, 38 for the Mountaineers, 39 for the Minutemen. Assists per game, 12 for West Virginia versus 19 for UMass. And like I said, expect West Virginia to have a higher number of assists in this game and probably a lower number of turnovers as well with Kerr Creasa's return. West Virginia is averaging 4 blocks per game, the same as UMass, who's also right there at 4. Both teams won their most recent contest. If you're watching on the video version, you'll see the last 5 for each. UMass winning 3 out of their last 5. West Virginia losing 3 out of their last 5. However, both teams most recently had wins on December 9th, West Virginia taking down Drexel 66-60 for the 4th win of West Virginia season, as we well know, whereas UMass took down Massachusetts Lowell 91-77 for their 5th win of the year. As far as how ESPN's feeling about this game, the ESPN FBI predictor has it pretty even, but favors UMass slightly, 51% to 49% for West Virginia, but I think a lot of that's probably based on what West Virginia has done up to this point and not what they may be debuting in this basketball game. But let's take a look at some of the team leaders for both of these squads now that we've looked at a little bit of the team stats in this game. And as we look at UMass's team leaders on the season, one of the main players that West Virginia needs to be worried about in this game is the UMass big man, Josh Cohen. He's a senior player, 6'10", but he really can score the basketball. Almost 60% on field goals for the year, leads the team in points, rebounds, and steals, as you see there, 18 points per game, 8 rebounds per game, and 1.5 steals per contest as well. Really a big man that can get out and spread the floor, shooting 50% from three-point range, so West Virginia's going to have to do a good job closing out on him on the outside, but they also cannot just focus on him solely, as Massachusetts has other players that can really hurt West Virginia, particularly another forward in Matt Cross, not as tall, 6'7", but a good size there at 230. He gets in there and hits the glass hard as well. Nearly 8 rebounds per game for him to go along with his double-digit scoring average, averaging over 16 points per game, as he is one of 3 UMass players that average double figures in scoring, the other being the guard, Rashul Diggins, averaging 11.6 points per game, 3 rebounds and 2 assists, and he'll team up in the backcourt with Keon Thompson, who leads UMass in assists, does a great job orchestrating their offense, and is nearly a double-figure scorer himself, 9.9 points per game, right there at the cusp. So obviously, as you saw in the team stats, UMass averaging over 80 points per game. They've got some guys that can really score the basketball, nearly 4 guys averaging double figures per game, and they have some players off their bench that can shoot it as well. As you see, one player averaging 40% from three-point range, range and another on their bench shooting 75% from beyond the arc. So they have some guys that can really shoot the basketball, and they're not afraid to hoist up threes. They're going to get out and run, try and force some turnovers and push the tempo up on the offensive end, and some of that will lead to, you know, fast break points, but also they will swing it around and shoot the basketball. So West Virginia going to have to play great, not only in transition defense, but also as far as closing out on shooters, as UMass has some guys that can really score the basketball from the outside. So that's a look at UMass's team leaders. Let's take a look at West Virginia's team leaders up to this point, as the Mountaineers are hopefully set to add some more weapons to their arsenal for this game. But as we look at the players currently leading the Mountaineers, pretty much similar to what it has been throughout this season, Quinn Slezinski continues to lead the club in scoring with 17 points per game. Jesse Edwards leads the Mountaineers in both blocked shots and rebounds, averaging 9 rebounds per game and 2 blocked shots per game. Keedy Johnson with 3 assists per game, and Seth Wilson leading the team with 1 steal per game. However, West Virginia does have 3 players averaging double figures in scoring, those being the aforementioned Quinn Slezinski, Jesse Edwards at 16 points per game right behind him, and then Kobe Johnson now up over 10 points per game himself. That bodes well if you're talking about adding Kerr Carissa, who I think will score the basketball for West Virginia, although he's a pass-first type of guy. He can shoot from the outside and can score. But then if you're adding Raekwon Battle, West Virginia really has a chance to, you know, get up and start scoring more points in more games, as they'll have some more double-digit scores potentially to add to the lineup when we're talking about scores. And Seth Wilson is coming off one of his better performances of the season as well, and West Virginia's bench scoring was much better. That allowed them to get that win over Drexel, and one of the reasons they were able to do so is they outscored Drexel in terms of bench scoring. So West Virginia still could use some good minutes from Seth Wilson and Ofri Neve, even if they are coming off the bench in this one behind Raekwon Battle. We'll see what happens there, but West Virginia's front court was also boosted recently by the return of Akuka Cook. As you can see, only playing about 10 minutes per game in the two contests that he's debuted, but he's done a great job. Hit a three-pointer last game. He's been blocking shots. He's been rebounding the basketball, and he really is a high-energy guy. Great numbers in the plus-minus category for the Mountaineers since he's returned, and he's only going to continue to play more minutes, so I expect West Virginia's front court to get better, and Jesse Edwards has been one of the best West Virginia big men in recent memory. I think he's going to continue that good performance. Quinn Slezinski averaging over 5 rebounds per game. Josiah Harris averaging over 5 rebounds per game. And Ofri Neve doing a great job getting in there with his 6'7" size, right at 5 rebounds per game himself as well. I think assist to turnover ratio is something I've talked about needing to improve a little bit for West Virginia. I think Kobe Johnson's done a good job handling the offense in Kerr Kreese's absence, but I'm very excited about the return of Kerr Kreese. I think it's going to mean a lot for West Virginia, both in, you know, higher assist numbers, lower turnover numbers, but I think just the way the offense operates is going to be really fun to watch in this game with Kerr Carissa coming back, especially if you add Battle to the mix, because then you got to focus on those guys. That's going to provide open looks for guys like Quinn Slezinski on a driving kick, Akuka Cook, you know, go down the list, Seth Wilson, and of course then that's going to free up the paint for Jesse Edwards to catch more lobs in this game. So I'm expecting higher assist numbers for West Virginia in this game and lower turnover numbers than we've seen. And hopefully it leads to more scoring on the scoreboard for the Mountaineers, which I guess leads me to talk about that scoreboard at the end of the day. Let's talk about my prediction for the 10th West Virginia men's basketball game of the 2023-2024 campaign. All right, as for my prediction for this one, I'm going to throw in the caveat that I'm personally expecting Raekwon Battle to give it a go and Noah Farrakhan as well. We'll see if that ends up being true or not. However, even if they do not, with Kerr Carissa coming back, I think I really like West Virginia's chances in this basketball game. Yes, it's tough to win on the road. It's going to be, you know, a hard-fought victory if West Virginia is able to pull it off. But in my opinion, I think they're going to do it. I think we're going to see a new-look team, and I think fans are going to start to be excited about what they see from this West Virginia basketball team starting in this game and then moving forward on the season. West Virginia should be more fun to watch, I think, from this point on, starting with this game against the Minutemen, which I think West Virginia will come out on top. I think they'll score more than we've seen throughout this season for the most part. I've got West Virginia winning this one 79-75 over UMass, scoring a road win in the return, or I guess the debut, you can say, of Kerr Carissa, and maybe the debut of a couple impactful West Virginia Mountaineer guards as well in Raekwon Battle and Noah Farrakhan. But nonetheless, I'm excited to watch this one and tune in to a new look West Virginia basketball club hitting the road and taking on the UMass Minutemen in Game 10 of the West Virginia basketball season. Know you guys are excited about this one also. Hope you've enjoyed tuning into this episode, and I'm looking forward to the next one, hoping to put these out more frequently as the basketball season progresses. But be sure, let me know your thoughts in the comments, both on this game, and give me your prediction. Do you think Raekwon Battle and Noah Farrakhan play for West Virginia in this game against UMass? We appreciate those interactions here as we continue to try and grow the Country Roads webcast community throughout Mountaineer Nation. Be sure, head over to WVSportsNow.com, not only to watch the video version of this episode, but for all kinds of great Mountaineer sports content. Be on the lookout for episode 5 of the CRW Hoops podcast, and you can find out just when that will be releasing by following us on social media. We're on X at WVU Country Roads, then just Country Roads webcast on Facebook and Instagram. Be sure, check us out there. We really appreciate that, just as we appreciate you tuning into this episode. Having said that, as always, I'm Jordan Cruz, and until next time, let's go Mountaineers. If you really want to know, then come on, let's go. Take a stroll down those...